Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. All right, here we go. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who Christ is the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
We had a baby recently. He is 8 weeks old currently, and I love my baby. His name is Owen. I have lots of fun with my baby. And to be frank, when I consider my baby, I consider him to be better than your baby. Okay? I just do. And that's not naive. That's not because I think he's going to do things faster than your baby, or he's going to roll over quicker, or he's more alert than your baby. It's not those things. I think he's better than your baby because he's my baby, right? Like, he's my baby. I like your baby, but I didn't cry when your baby was born. I just didn't. I didn't cry. I didn't, like, shed a tear. Your baby's being born did not affect my everyday life, right? It didn't affect my sleeping schedule. I don't have to wake up. Your baby's crying at 3 a.m. It didn't affect me at all. It doesn't affect my eat. My food didn't get cold because I was trying to feed your baby. Now, with my baby, my food gets cold every day. I think that's what parenthood means. Parenthood, at the least, means your food is going to be cold. You're eat cold food. That's what parenting means. But it didn't affect my everyday life, your baby, and I love mine. He definitely affected my life. But today we're going to talk about a baby who doesn't just affect the parent's life, but affects everyone's life. A baby who affects the entire world, that not just affects you or me, but the entire world. He alters our everyday life. He's the preeminent infant. He's the newborn Lord. The second member of the Trinity who forever existed, now a baby. And he's a baby who changes everything. And so this baby that we're going to look at was just born in this text. And so we're going to enter into the story in Luke 2, verse 8, just after this baby being born. And so Luke 2, verse 8. "And in the same region, Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" So he's just been born, and then what we get is this birth announcements, this good news of great joy, this announcing of this baby that he's born. And the first to receive this birth announcement, to me, is some random dudes, right? They're just some random guys. Like, when I think, who am I going to tell about my baby being born, or who am I going to give a Christmas card to, I think, man, those things are expensive, so it's going to be like 10 people. So I'm going to be very choosy in who I choose to give my Christmas card to, but this, like, just some shepherds out in the field. It feels like just who's awake, right? Like, who's awake? Who's still up at night? Who's still here? Who's still doing work? Who's awake? Let me just tell them. That's how this proclamation comes across, this announcement comes across, is just, let me find somebody and I will tell them. Now, for us, shepherding in our day sounds good because it's connected to pastoring, to loving, to caring for people. But shepherding in this time is not a reputable career. Like, these weren't outstanding guys. These were the bottom of the social scale. They were generally considered to be dishonest, unclean, and thieves. So these shepherds were outcasts and sinners. And isn't it fitting that they are the first audience to hear of the good news of Jesus? This is exactly who Jesus came for, outcasts and sinners. The broken and sinful, the lying and deceivers, the rejected, the poor, the hopeless. So it makes sense that the angel comes on the scene and he proclaims the good news to the outcast and the sinners. And how it comes just suddenly seems a bit abrupt. Just as Mary was pregnant with Jesus, now it feels like heaven is pregnant with the news about Jesus, so it just appears and ruptures into the scene, and the angel just pops up and talks to the shepherds. Jesus is born. You've been waiting for him. Like, okay, I was just like watching some sheep, but this angel just pops on the scene and tells him and announces and makes this announcement to him. Jesus is born. You've been waiting for him. You've been waiting for this. Your Old Testament, your history is littered with failure, destruction, and despair. You've had priests, you've had prophets, you've had judges, you've had kings, but this is the one you've been waiting for because he perfectly fulfills all of those. You've been waiting, and what you've been waiting for is here. The holy priest, the inerrant prophet, the greatest deliverer, the flawless king is here. What you need is here. He's arrived. You've been waiting for this man. You've been waiting for this leader. You've been waiting for this hope. This, it's almost like a reveal party. Right? Not a gender reveal party, like there's going to be some blue cupcakes, oh, it's a boy, but like a reveal party on who is this being. So it's not, is this a boy or is this a girl? It's, this is God. Not a cute envelope sealed by your OBGYN to say what female is it or what sex is a male or a female, but it's an angelic proclamation that this is God. This is what the angels burst on the scene. They reveal, for unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the good news of great joy. And so let's consider this announcement. Let's consider the news that is proclaimed to the shepherds and just begin with the three titles that the angel says about Jesus. So these three titles, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior is born. This is connected to the Old Testament. This is a deliverer. This is a judge like Samson or Gideon. He's going to rescue his people. He's going to save them. His name means what he's going to do. He's going to save his people. Now, what's different between him and the judges or Samson is he's not going to deliver from the oppressive enemies. He's going to deliver them from themselves. Like the story of the Old Testament is just littered with they rebelled against the Lord. They turned from the Lord. They refused to hear the Lord's words. They go after other gods. Their hearts are wicked and deceitful, and they do whatever is right in their own eyes. Like you can see Nehemiah 9 just recap the whole story of the Old Testament, and it starts with God, but then it goes, but the people. So how good and glorious God is, but the people turned their back on God. But the people went after other gods. But the people didn't listen to God. They didn't enjoy God. They didn't love God. They didn't follow God. And now there is a Savior who is born, who's going to overcome their rebellion by his grace. Who's going to crush their selfishness by his sacrificial love. He's going to ruin their pride by his humility. He's going to save them from themselves. A Savior is born. This is good news of great joy. And then the angel also says that today the Christ is born. So this also connects to the Old Testament because this is the anointed one, the anointed king, the long-awaited righteous king whose rule is perfect and will never end. He's the answer to the promise to David that there's going to be a king that comes from your line and he's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to rule forever and he's going to rule perfectly and graciously and he's going to be a loving king. He'll be faithful and true. The people need a shepherd king. They need a pastoring leader, a protector and a provider and a kind ruler. And this baby is that. And catch this. This baby is the king who has a throne that's a feeding trough. That's how he enters into this world. And to you, this day is born a child. He's the king. And what is he currently reigning upon? A feeding trough. Like the humility of God in coming as a child should jar you from your arrogance. This should be shocking to you. Right, because when I think about this, I think, man, there's a king, and so I think there's a judge. I think about like how much weight does he bench? Like, what throne chair does he have that's overlaid with gold? Like, how boss hog is this dude? And what I find in the proclamation of this birth announcement is that it's a baby. The Savior's here. The King is here. It's a child. It's an infant. Your Savior's here. Your King is here. But then the third title, the Lord is here. The Lord is born. This is Mighty God from Isaiah 9. Mighty God is here. For unto you a child is born, and his name will be Mighty God. This baby is not only their Savior and King, but he is also their God. He is fully God and fully man. This is what is called the incarnation. God in the flesh. This also connects to the Old Testament. Like they've been waiting for God's presence. Why? Because God's presence in the Old Testament resided and dwelt among them in a tabernacle. And as a nomadic people for such a long time, they could set up this tabernacle, they could tear it down and take it with them and then set it back up. And the exterior of this tabernacle was an animal skin. And what does Jesus do? God do. He comes and dwells among his people, but he doesn't wrap himself in animal skin. He puts on a skin suit and dwells among us. God as a man in the flesh, the second member of the Trinity who has existed forever now comes as a baby to grow up like us, to live among us, to love us. This baby is God. Now, theologians throughout the centuries have pondered this, have tried to articulate this, have kind of just awed at this statement, this idea that the Lord, that the Lord is this baby, that this baby is the mighty God. And I've just taken it and put it all into one paragraph, and this is what they say. God to be a child, God in a woman's womb, that is the miraculous miracle. The great God to be a little babe, the Ancient of Days to become an infant, the King of Eternity to be 2 or 3 months old, the Almighty Jehovah to be a weak man. God immeasurably great, whom heaven and earth cannot contain, to be a babe a span long. He that rules the stars to breastfeed, the founder of the heavens to be rocked in a cradle, the swayer of the world to be swathed in infant bands. It is a most incredible thing. The earth wondered at Christ's nativity to see a new star in heaven, but heaven might rather wonder to see a new sun on earth. He's a Savior. He's a King. He is God. And as God, in his incarnation, in putting on a skin suit, in becoming a man, it tells us that God enters into the mess. God enters into the world as into the world's mess as a baby. He was willing to get his hands dirty. He was willing to enter into this messy situation. He subjected himself to being born. He submitted himself to being swaddled and to having his diapers changed. Friends, Jesus is not overwhelmed by your mess. He's not overwhelmed by your mess. Jesus humbly moves towards the mess. He passionately comes after you in it. Isaiah 9:9 says, speaking of Jesus, the Son being born, says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus in his passion, is his fervency and his desire and his fire within him comes in the flesh. This is the zeal of the Lord, that he would come after you in your mess, to serve you, to change you. He passionately comes after you. God Almighty, born as a man in a cave and having a feeding trough as a bed, he chooses to enter in the mess. Your mess is no bigger than his love. It's not. I don't care how messy it is. Like, if your mess is your depression, if your mess is your suicidal thoughts, if your mess is your self-harm and your cutting, if your mess is your just running to alcohol to try to run away from whatever has affected you or whatever has happened to you, if your mess is the broken relationships that you're just dreading right now, I have to go see these people at Christmas. Whatever your mess is, you're not left alone, but Jesus comes to you in your mess. And your mess is not greater than his love. His love actually propels him to enter into the fray with you. God, as a man, as a baby, in a messy cave. This birth announcement is good news of great joy, and it calls for a response. The incarnation, the amazing reality that the second member of the Trinity, who forever existed with the Father and the Spirit, has now entered into human history as a baby, demands a response. It's like you getting news that you got that job, or your girlfriend said yes, or you don't have to do that class to get to graduate. Whatever it is, that good news, it calls for a response. And I think how you respond to the news really reveals how you view the news. And what I mean by that is, if you got a promotion at your job and then you went back to your cubby and you like listened to some emo music and it's like, oh, this is so sad. My life, the horrible life that I have. I think that's the lyrics of emo music. But but if that's your response, if you get a promotion and then that's what you go do, that's a strange response, right? Like, if it's good news, then it invokes joy within you. And so this good news of great joy, this morning, calls you, demands a response from you. And the rest of this text is just responses from the different characters in the story. And so we're going to look at the different characters and how they respond to the good news of great joy and really just connect you, and hopefully you join in with them and you respond in the same manner with them. And so verse 13, let's see how these characters respond. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This angel seemingly just blurts out this news to the closest people around. And before the closest people around, the shepherds can even respond, 100 million other angels appear and just start praising God. It's pretty wild, right? Like, this is how it responds. For unto you, a child is born this day, a Savior, Christ the Lord. The shepherd's like, okay. No, they don't even get to respond. 100 million angels just jump on the scene and start praising God. I feel like they should have said, fear not as well, right? If one guy scares you and he has to say, fear not, 10,000 times 10,000 show up. And they just start saying, praising God. Then I'd be like, I don't know what's happening, right? A little fearful. But this is the response. This is how bursting at the seam heaven is with this news. They hear the news. You guys have been waiting for this. Like, we know your history. We see what's been happening in your lives. We've seen the centuries of you going after other gods. We see the despair. We see the hopelessness. We see the downward cycle of your life. And now, the child is born. So they just jump on the scene and start praising God. They just start telling God who he is. And that's how I've considered praising God in light of this, is just telling God who he is. God is holy, gracious, and merciful, is the creator of all things. They praise him. This is God's wise plan of redemption. And so, fam, this Christmas week, praise God even if you don't have him figured out. Even if you don't have it all figured, you don't have your life figured out. Praise God. Why? Because you've heard the announcement that is good news of great joy. Of a son has been born. He's the Savior and he's the Christ. He is God. Worship him, sing to him, give glory to him, join the angels. The God of all the universe has now entered into human history as a baby. So just tell him who he is. Take time this week to tell him who he is. God, you are great and glorious. You are perfect in your wisdom. Your love is amazing. You are holy and right and true and faithful. You are for us. You are good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. The angels just burst on the scene and praise God. And that's what I call you to this week as well, to praise him, to tell him who he is. And now in verse 15, the shepherds respond. They have a chance to respond in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, find it interesting that an angel from the Lord comes and tells you of this announcement. 100 million other angels jump on the scene and start praising God. And you don't talk back to God. Like, you don't say anything to God. Maybe you didn't know the song that the angels were singing, so like, I can't jump in on this. What you do is you look at the other person who's like, so let's find them. Like, there's no like connection, like no reciprocation back to the angel. It's just, okay, let's go do this. Let's go find him. But I don't mind this response because they want to see him. They want to know. They this announcement has been told to them, and so they go find the baby. They go searching for him. They want to see him. It's like, were we tripping or is this true? Did that just happen? Let's go see. Let's go see if there's a sign, if there's this baby lying in a manger. The news about Jesus brings great joy, so does also seeing him. Hearing the gospel proclaimed is sweet for your soul, and so is communing with him. Hearing him, talking to him, being in his presence. Fam, this week, spend time with him. I know you are busy. I know you got gifts to buy. I know that at one point in this week, you have the opportunity to watch The Christmas Story for 24 hours in a row. I know that. Maybe watch it once and then spend some time with Jesus, right? You hear the good news of great joy, but what also brings great joy is being in his presence. So enjoy being in God's presence. Be quiet. Be still, quiet your soul. Go to his word, hear from him, talk to him, and enjoy being in the presence of the glorious one. They go after him. They go find it out. They go see him face to face. It goes on for the shepherds in verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Hearing about joy and seeing joy makes you share that joy. The shepherds heard the news of great joy. They go see the baby, the baby Jesus, the baby of joy, and then they go tell other people about the joy. Just as they've been evangelized, now they evangelize. Just as they heard the good news, they've seen the glory of Jesus face to face, now they go tell others about him, about this good news of great joy. They go and spread. They go and tell it on the mountain. They go talk about this promised baby. He's the one that they've all been waiting for. He's the long-expected Messiah. So they run out to tell other people about this baby. The reign of Christendom in America is definitely declining. It's definitely dying. Maybe faster in other parts of the country than in Texas. But you know what? In our culture, we still celebrate Christmas. People still buy gifts. This season is infused with joy. Now, do people kind of grab that joy and try to find it in the wrong places? Of course, but this season is infused with joy. Why? Why do people buy gifts? Why do TV shows like explicitly sing hymns about Jesus? This means all of those things means opportunities for you to share the good news of Jesus. People are fighting about red cups. You know what? You can take that as an opportunity to share the gospel with people that don't know him. You've heard the good news of great joy, so you want to, you've seen the baby, you've seen Jesus in his glory and grace, you've seen him, you've experienced this joy, now you get to go tell others about this joy. The joy that's entered into your mess, now you want to take that joy into your friends' messes. Christendom might be dying, but Jesus is alive. So I take great hope in that, and that's what you get to talk about. And that's what you get to share. And you get to tell them of this baby, that the hope of Israel is the hope for the world. And what is their hope? It's in the manger. Now, another character responds. Mary, the mother of Jesus, responds in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. She took this to heart. She saved them in her mind. So she had had an angel appear to her and tell her what was going to happen. And then she miraculously carried this baby. Then she had shepherds show up on her doorstep, not even her doorstep, right? Like this is an amazing home birth, right? This is not even a home birth. This is not even her birth plan. Hey, let's walk for miles while I'm 9 months long. Yeah, let's do that. I'd love to. Hey, let's, that rock and play that we bought, we forgot it. Well, I got a feeding trough. Does that work? I guess. How about this cave? Is this working for you? Okay, like we're doing this. Like, this is a messy scene. And she doesn't give announcements of birth. She didn't throw a party for her child and know that people are going to show up. Shepherds just show up. Hey, is that a baby? Yes? You're terrifying. This is a baby. Is that a manger? Yes. Are those swaddling cloths? Yes. That's the one. Okay, what do you want to do? You're not going to steal my baby. No, we're not going to steal your baby. He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Yes, okay. She pondered these. She took these. The shepherds talking to her, the angels speaking to her, how Joseph responded. She takes all these things to heart. She reflects and she ponders and she meditates on this. Like Mary, reflect on this. Spend time this week rereading the story. Treasure it in your heart. A child was born. It means you can start new Jesus-centered traditions in your family. Like maybe, guys, you buy pajamas for one another and you put them on Christmas Eve and you sleep in them and you wake up and it's cool pajamas. You know what? Also, in your pajamas, you can read the story of Luke 2. And you can ponder and reflect. You can go outside. It'll probably only be 50 degrees on Christmas Eve. You can go outside and you can look at the stars and you can meditate and you can reflect. And you can think about the king over all the stars came as a baby and was breastfed and was rocked to sleep and his diapers were changed, that the second member of the Trinity came into human history, came in the flesh as a baby. You can stop and ponder and wonder of God becoming man, him choosing to be born to enter our mess. So I don't know if you should just fit into one of these characters' responses, but I want to just put all those responses out there that it might woo you, that you would respond to the good news of great joy. You've heard the announcement, and I think the announcement demands a response. The Savior, the King, God himself was born that fateful night. God entered into the mess. God came to us. We didn't climb to God by our performance, or by our good works or our moral integrity, but God himself climbed down to us. And in such humility and emptying himself comes as a baby to rescue us. This is good news of great joy. Be joyful even in your mess. You are not alone. God has not left you by yourself. Be joyful. A child is born, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray and rejoice. Jesus, I'm still blown away by this. I've seen this. I've read this. I've studied this for 16 years. I've looked at this passage this week, and I talked about this an hour ago, and I'm still amazed that you would come as a baby, that you would subject yourself, that you would humble yourself, that you would enter into the mess with us. In the messiness of my heart and our souls and our minds, you have not left us alone, but you have come to us. You have passionately come after us. You are a glorious Savior. You're the perfect King, and you are the God of all gods, the mighty God. I ask that we respond to you. If it's pondering, if it's meditating, if it's hearing the story, if it's telling others, I ask that we just respond to you. I do pray that we tell others, and I pray those that heard of your good news this morning, they would be like the shepherds that would put their hope in you. They would see you, that you would save them this morning, the first title, Savior, would be a reality for them this morning. They would put their faith in you and rejoice. And I ask that we'd all be joyful and rejoice because a child was born, and his name is Jesus. Amen.